Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Since the first Nobel Peace Prize was awarded in 1901, the acceptance speech has afforded laureates an opportunity for international attention.
I accept this award on behalf of the civil rights movement.
We will have created a society which recognizes that all people are born equal.
I pray that what I'm feeling in my heart will be communicated clearly enough that those who hear me will say, we must act.
Today, Barack Obama joins the ranks of Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, and Al Gore when he accepts his award in Oslo. This isn't the first time a sitting U.S. president has won, and it's not the first time a laureate has sparked impassioned controversy. But this is our president in our time, and Americans are divided.
It's a fantastic, wonderful thing.
I think it's a little premature.
I'm afraid that it's going to make things harder for him.
I think that as a country, we should be celebrating this.
Putting a historic moment in context as it happens on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Thursday, December 10th, and The Takeaway is we're wondering whether we're more at peace now with the decision to give Barack Obama the Nobel Peace Prize than we were when the announcement was made.
Well, we're going to be covering it's a speech he's giving in Oslo this morning, but the technical name for it is a lecture. We will be covering the lecture all morning, and we'll take a look also at the health care bill. We have an update on that and a disturbing terrorism story, an update on that from Washington, D.C.
Let's get right to it. Five young Muslim American men are detained in Pakistan, are believed to be the same five young men that vanished from Washington, D.C. last month. One of them had left a farewell video saying Muslims must be defended and featured images of American casualties. At least 16 deaths are being blamed on a huge storm which swept across most of the Midwest and New England. Wind chills hit as low as minus 40 in some areas and created blizzard conditions. In the next 2 hours, as we said, President Obama will deliver a speech or lecture as he accepts the Nobel Peace Prize. We expect the president to outline his vision of American leadership, but also stress that all nations must work together for peace. We're joined now live by Jeff Zeleny. He's a reporter with the New York Times, and he's in Oslo, Norway. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Set the scene for us. What will it look like when Barack Obama takes the stage?
Well, the scene is Oslo City Hall, where people are already gathering. The crowd will be about 1,000 people or so. It's a well-dressed crowd, an elite intellectual crowd that will be listening to his lecture, and that chief theme of that is him reconciling war and peace.
And there's 1,000 people allowed in the audience. What happens with the people that are not allowed in? Do they watch it from their homes, or are there places that they congregate?
Well, certainly it is being broadcast on a Norwegian television as well as places across the world, obviously. People have been gathering along the street watching the President Obama's motorcade go by. One sign that was standing out among others, it says, Obama, you've won it, now earn it. So that is at least some of the sentiment here in Oslo.
Okay, Jeff Zeleny, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
The president is expected to confront protesters. He may not see them, but there are protesters in Oslo. And he's expected to confront the Afghan war head-on in his speech. Speaking last hour in Oslo, the president said withdrawal from the war is a certainty.
I've been unambiguous about this. So there should not be a debate. Starting in July 2011, we will begin that transition, that transfer of responsibility.
The president called for a review of the progress next year. Progress in Iraq remains challenging. This morning, a group linked to Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility for the car bombings 2 days ago. Foreclosures were down again in the U.S. last month, an 8% decrease. And the recount is over, and Kasim Reed is the next mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. His election extends a decades-long line of African-American mayors in the city.
Futures are mixed as the Dow gets underway later this morning at 10,337. The S&P will open 5 points under 1,100. The NASDAQ at 2183. President Obama says he doesn't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize that he'll receive this morning. And we're asking you, what will he need to do to deserve it? Is it nuclear disarmament? Is he need to end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? Win a second term? Let us know what you think. 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. We'll be talking about the president and the Nobel Peace Prize all morning.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning. President Barack Obama is in Oslo today. He'll accept the Nobel Peace Prize. And though he was just months into his presidency when it was announced, many people say it was an award for his vision of how the world could be. It was met with uncertainty, though, the announcement, by critics and supporters alike. Here's the voices of some of our listeners.
The world does not give enough credit to the willingness to sit down and talk to people.
Let's hope he can take this award to heart. I'm hearing all the pundits coming out and trying to justify why or why not he should have gotten this award.
The president has really done nothing at all to further peace except talk.
It seems the whole world sees the value of what he's done and what he's inspired. But Americans are doubting this.
Has your opinion changed since the award was announced? What do you think he should do now? What will he need to do to deserve it? Nuclear disarmament, ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? Let us know at 877-8-MYTAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Jeff Zeleny had that great sign that someone said,
you've won it, now earn it.
That says it right there.
Right. Jeff Zeleny, White House correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. He is in Oslo now following the president. Jeff, you just heard that reaction from some of our listeners. That was recorded on the day that the prize wasn't announced. It was a surprise to just about everyone. Do you think people have come to terms with this more by now?
Well, I think people certainly have gotten used to the fact. I mean, don't forget, when news reached Washington on that morning of October 9th, it surprised everyone, including President Obama himself. And since then, what's happened, he's had to make his big Afghanistan decision, which we've been sort of waiting for. So now, if it was sort of viewed as politically complicated for him to accept it then, it's even more so now as he sort of reconciles this paradox between accepting a peace award and escalating the war in Afghanistan. So he is going to directly address that. He is going to say specifically why that's needed. So in the past couple of months, it has just raised the bar for what this award means and how he must accept it.
As you mentioned, it's been only 9 days since he gave the very, very different type of speech at West Point announcing his new strategy in Afghanistan. You say he's going to take this issue head on. Any idea on how he's going to reconcile these two things?
Well, he's going to say that, basically briefly explain his rationale for Afghanistan and saying that, you know, war in this case is necessary essentially to bring peace. War in this case is necessary to secure America. He's not going to sort of relitigate or re-argue his Afghanistan speech, which he gave last week, but he's going to talk, I'm told, about American leadership in the world, how he certainly will humbly accept this award again. You know, and we'll probably say he doesn't deserve it. But then he's going to sort of use it as a symbol, as a beacon that American leadership is still wanted and needed around the world. So we'll be interested in watching the reaction from the crowd here and certainly beyond to see how it's received.
Okay, we're joined now by Shuja Nawaz, director of the Asia Center at the Atlantic Council, and also Steve Cohen, the executive director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. Shuja, one of the things that the Nobel Committee pointed to when they announced the award to President Barack Obama was his outreach to the Muslim world and his attempts to engage in international diplomacy. Help me understand, what do you think that outreach to the Muslim world entailed?
Well, he was the first global president. If you recall, when he was elected, there was an informal poll conducted around the world in about 90 countries. He was selected as the president over his opponent. So clearly there was a great deal of expectation and support for him, particularly in the Muslim world. There was a fascination with his origin, a fascination with his middle name, and very heightened expectations.
What's happened with those expectations now? As he steps onto the podium to accept his Nobel Peace Prize, have those expectations, are they still there among the Muslim world, or are they getting impatient?
To some extent, but his popularity has fallen, particularly in the region where I come from South Asia and Pakistan in particular. And I think the Nobel Peace Prize obviously was some kind of front-loading of the benefit to him. The real test is going to be how he defines the peace that emerges after the United States begins withdrawing from the region.
Steve Cohen, executive director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. Another portion of the reason why Barack Obama was given this award, says the Nobel Committee, is his his dedication to ending to nuclear disarmament. And in the original award, as outlined by Alfred Nobel, said that we should strive for the reduction in standing armies. How is he doing on that front?
Well, I mean, I think you have to give him credit for changing the dialogue and the language that's coming out of the United States. I mean, this is a president who goes to look at the military dead coming back and obviously is deeply affected, and his predecessor dressed up in a flight suit and pretended he was a bomber landing on an aircraft carrier. So, I mean, there's at least a very different set of symbols and a much different kind of thought process going through what's happening in the White House, and I think there's very little question about his dedication.
In order to earn this award, what does he need to accomplish in terms of nuclear disarmament?
Well, I mean, I think that part of what we have to focus on, in fact, is the real threats from nuclear weapons in this era, which is not so much, you know, the old stuff of places like Russia, the United States having a big thermonuclear exchange, but in fact, you know, nuclear weapons falling into the hands of non-state actors and dirty bombs exploding in Times Square. Those are the kinds of things that that they have to focus on right now. And I think in many respects, that is the focus of attention in Washington.
Jeff Zeleny, a last question for you. There's a lot of talk about what President Obama has to accomplish in the years ahead in order to prove to people that he earned his Nobel Peace Prize. But what does he have to accomplish in this speech, do you think?
I think he has to accomplish in this speech just laying out his vision and his goals and humbly accepting this. But in actually remarks a few minutes ago that he made to reporters here, I think he perhaps summed it up best. He said, if I'm not successful, all the praise and the awards in the world won't disguise this. He's right by that. He'll be judged by his presidency, not by this speech here in Oslo today.
He's hanging that sign on himself. I want it, now I've got to earn it.
No question.
That's
interesting.
Intense.
Jeff Zeleny, White House correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. He's in Oslo. Steve Cohen is the executive director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University, and Shuja Nawaz is the director of the South Asia Center at the Atlantic Council of the United States. And we're asking you, what does President Obama need to do to earn this award? Nuclear disarmament, ending wars in Afghanistan and Iraq? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in on the headlines.
Disturbing story out of the nation's capital. Five American men being held in Pakistan where investigators want to know if they have links to terrorism. The young men vanished from the Washington, D.C. area last month. Their relatives had asked for the FBI to help finding them after they discovered a disturbing farewell video. The Executive Director of American Islamic Relations, Nihad Awad, has been following the case.
I have seen the video and I was disturbed by the content of it.
It reportedly shows images of American war casualties. Pakistani officials say the five men are being interrogated. Staying overseas, an Al-Qaeda-linked group in Iraq is claiming responsibility now for this week's deadly Baghdad bombings that killed 127 people. In the past few minutes, the Defense Secretary Robert Gates has arrived in Baghdad to meet with Iraqi leaders and troops.
Back in the U.S., the health care reform proposal that could open up Medicare to more uninsured Americans will be costed out today. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has sent the tentative proposal to the Congressional Budget Office. AOL is becoming an independent internet company again. The company's spinoff from Time Warner is complete, and AOL stock is set to officially begin trading.
That'll be a bargain. Guaranteed.
Finally, at least 16 deaths are being blamed on a huge storm which swept across most of the Midwest and New England. Wind chills hit as low as minus 40 in some areas and created blizzard conditions. Those are some of the stories that we're following this morning. Coming up, the British government is slapping a 50% tax on bankers' bonuses. Louise Story explains, and we're asking you, what do you think President Barack Obama needs to do to earn the Nobel Peace Prize?
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.